Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast, The Point series. I'm Sun Chenghao from CISS Tsinghua University. In recent years, the BRICS mechanism has played a crucial role as an important platform for emerging economies, contributing significantly to global governance and promoting South-South cooperation. Today, our discussion will focus on the significance, impact, and future prospects of the BRICS mechanism. Our esteemed guest is Professor Wang Lei, Director of the BRICS Cooperation Research Center at Beijing Normal University. Stay tuned as we dive into this compelling topic. Today, we are very honored to have Professor Wang Lei as our guest. Professor Wang is Director of the BRICS Cooperation Research Center at Beijing Normal University. Thanks for accepting our invitation.
A pleasure.
Yeah. So, to begin with, let's start with your role as the Director of the BRICS Cooperation Research Center at Beijing Normal University. As the director, you have led the center in interpreting China's key strategies and policies on BRICS cooperation through various major TV and radio programs. So how do you see the development of the BRICS organization, and how do you see the role of the BRICS mechanism in the global arena?
In general, the BRICS cooperation was proposed by the very famous British economist Jim O'Neill, who served as the general manager of the Goldman Sachs investment during the early years of this 21st century. In that years, the Goldman Sachs proposed several research publications which would like to give the incentives to the emerging economies like China, Brazil, India, etc. So they proposed the BRICS idea. In the past 18 years, we see that the BRICS cooperation evolved from one business concept to the reality of political and economic cooperation in the global arena. So in 2006, which was a very important year because, as we see, it was 2 years before the outbreak of the 2008 global financial crisis. Therefore, in that year, those countries like Brazil, Russia, India, and China held a kind of very careful and elaborate joint convention of those foreign ministers of the four countries. In the past 18 years, we see that they are now very important and playing a kind of even essential roles in the fundamental changes to push forward the global political and economic paradigms. So the BRICS cooperation right now, which was perceived as one of the most important emerging global regimes to give certain kinds of pressures upon the existing global systems. So the BRICS cooperation would like to join hands with those global South countries to push forward the reforms of the existing global system. Therefore, countries like United States as well as the European countries would like to give their more and more attention upon the BRICS cooperation. So the BRICS right now is not only the cooperation regime or platform for those emerging economies. On the other hand, they are now playing a kind of more and more important decisive roles in the fundamental changes of the global regime, which has been dominated by the existing powers like the United States and European countries. So we could see the BRICS cooperation, we could regard it as a kind of multilateral international organization, but it is in the very early stage.
Right. Mm. Yes, you talk about the BRICS, the role of the BRICS in the international system and the global regime. And we also witnessed that in recent years, there are a lot of summits held by the BRICS. And those summits have emerged as a crucial platform for cooperation among emerging economies. So what do you think are the key highlights or breakthroughs of this summit? And how would you evaluate the role of BRICS in promoting a multipolar world and enhancing global South cooperation?
In the past years, the BRICS held the annual summits as well as those informal summits participated by those leaders from the BRICS countries. For the official summits in the past years, those BRICS countries on one hand, has evolved into one very important regime focusing upon the global governance issues, like the reform of the existing global regime, ranging from the United Nations Security Council to the WTO, the G20, as well as some other very important regional cooperation regimes, like the cooperation between those emerging economies and those developing countries, ranging from the African continent to the Latin American and Caribbean regions. On the other hand, the BRICS summits also focusing upon the very broad issues composed of the Political and Security Council, the financial and trade economic cooperation, to the humanitarian and cultural exchanges and cooperation among those emerging economies. Therefore, the BRICS right now is accelerating their cooperation in a very broad issue. To some extent, it's a kind of statecraft cooperation among those emerging economy leaders. See, therefore, those BRICS rules and highlights achieved by the BRICS summits in the past years are now attracting more and more attention from the international arena, especially from those global South countries. In the past years, especially since 2017, in which year the BRICS held their summits in Xiamen, China, we could see from that year, more and more emerging economies in the other continents, like African continent, would like to join hands with the BRICS cooperation to promote their speaking power as well as their participation in the global governance cooperation issues. So, the BRICS cooperation right now is a kind of representative for those global South countries. Therefore, for example, during the reform of G20 in the past years, we could see the BRICS join hands to welcome the participation of the African Union in the G20, and right now it is one of the official members for the G20 cooperation. For the other issues like the UN security reform, the reform upon the existing global multilateral trading system, the global South countries would like to participate in the efforts by the BRICS countries to give a kind of fundamental and tremendous reforms upon those existing global system. We could see that the cooperation between Global South and BRICS was based upon some very fundamental regimes like the BRICS Plus, the regional cooperation regimes, as well as the expansions of the BRICS. In the past years, the BRICS has succeeded in promoting their expansion for three rounds, with the admission of South Africa in the 2011, then with the admission of some other representative global South countries like Ethiopia, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, etc., to become the official members for the BRICS in 2023. And from the first week of this year, 2025, we have witnessed that Indonesia was admitted as the new member for the BRICS cooperation. So in a changing multipolar world, the global South countries and those BRICS countries are now working together to push forward the fundamental reforms, the fundamental changes in order to welcome and push forward the very broad view, fundamental and tremendous reform and changes of this existing global system.
Right. And we know that the United States is not one member of BRICS, and it is also not one member of the Global South. Some people argue that the U.S. influence cannot be ignored, especially during the second Trump administration. So, in the future, how might U.S. trade policies impact BRICS cooperation? And what priority areas, such as trade, energy, or technological innovation, should BRICS focus on under the big BRICS framework?
In actual, we could see the BRICS cooperation has their own fundamental incentives to push forward their cooperation, which now is the framework of BRICS cooperation. But of course, I totally agree with you that we could not ignore the roles played by the United States together with the BRICS cooperation. Because as we see in the past years, the BRICS summits would like to focus upon the reforms of the existing global system, which right now is still predominantly owned and regulated by the United States. Therefore, Therefore, to reform the existing global system is one of the top issues, top priorities for the BRICS cooperation. Of course, this kind of efforts by the BRICS countries earned to some extent the attention from the United States. For example, on December 1st of 2024, the president-elect Donald Trump published one comment on BRICS cooperation to say that he and his administration would like to execute a very, very heavy tariff upon the BRICS countries if they would like to push forward the financial and monetary cooperation during the second term of the Donald Trump administration. And on the other hand, we would foresee that in the upcoming 4 years, there would be more and more heavy pressures from the United States upon the BRICS cooperation before the winning of the campaign by Donald Trump in 2024. Actually, Joe Biden's administration did a lot to divide and roll the BRICS cooperation. For example, the India issue, we see India is more and more far away from the BRICS cooperation, which should be a very important participant and a partner in the BRICS, as well as some other countries like the Saudi Arabia, which was admitted by the BRICS as a new member during the second round of admission. Why Saudi Arabia right now is becoming more and more cautious with regards to their participation and cooperation with the BRICS countries right now. So the United States would be a more and more important role to some extent influencing the BRICS cooperation in the upcoming years. With regards to the priority areas during the big BRICS cooperation or the greater BRICS framework, we would see right now those members of the BRICS are very, very cautious about it. Because as we see in the past year since 2017 in Xiamen Summit, the BRICS is becoming more and more focus-less. That means they are focusing upon the top priority areas to concentrate their cooperation. But they are right now, we have to see that, losing their focus on concentration with regards to the top priority areas. In the past 7 years, the BRICS cooperation focused upon the trade cooperation, energy, even agricultural products, as well as the technological innovation. But because of the rotating presidency of the BRICS, we will see the policy consistency and policy coherence is very, very decisive with regards to the very important fundamental and the more and more united cooperation within the BRICS members. They would like to find the concentration and focuses, but right now I think they did not do very well, actually, in the past years. It's one of the headaches for those BRICS leaders.
So you mentioned that one of the goals of BRICS is trying to reform the existing international system and the global governance regime. So with the world facing challenges such as climate change and public health crisis, what tangible achievements have BRICS countries made in advancing global governance reforms?
In the very beginning of the BRICS cooperation, they focused upon the financial and monetary cooperation. Therefore, the biggest and greatest tangible achievements for them would be the New Development Bank, which was headquartered in Shanghai. In 2014, the BRICS members agreed to establish the NDB, New Development Bank, to push forward the reform upon the existing global financial regimes, especially for the reform upon the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank Group. They did do very well because they succeeded in reforming the existing global financial regimes with the quota and voting power transition from the European countries and some other developing countries to those BRICS members. For example, China right now is the second largest voting power within the IMF and the World Bank. Besides the financial and monetary cooperation, the BRICS countries also did very well in reforming the global security security regimes. For example, the reform upon the United Nations Security Council is one of the top issues right now, especially for this year, 2025. We see the countries like India and Brazil, together with some other African countries, would like to push forward this regime. They win the support from China and Russia, which are the two members of the UN Security Council. They also did very well in fighting the spreading of epidemics, especially during the COVID-19 crisis. We see the BRICS countries did very well in the technological innovation with the cooperation to provide help to those members of the BRICS as well as some other developing countries in African continent. So with regards to the global governance, in my opinion, it's one of the most important mandates and missions for the BRICS cooperation, because they are not only the representative for themselves, for those BRICS members, they are the representatives for the global South countries and the other developing countries. Therefore, they are now winning more and more efforts from the global South countries to support them in advancing the global governance reforms. As I mentioned in the earlier episode, we see in the past 2 years, the BRICS succeeded in welcoming the African Union to participate in the G20 cooperation, which is one of the primary platforms for the global economic governance. We could see global governance is the most important mandate for the BRICS. It would be the most important domain for the BRICS countries to push forward their cooperation with the global South countries in order to make this world fairer, more equitable, more equal, and more just, especially to establish a kind of new global political and economic regime, which could welcome more and more efforts and more speaking powers for those emerging economies and developing countries.
Yes, I agree that global governance should be the most important mandate for BRICS. And we know that BRICS cooperation also rejects small circles, providing vital opportunities for solidarity and collaboration among global South countries. However, there have always been some doubts and accusations. So how to address those challenges? For example, in recent years, there have also been doubts as to whether further BRICS expansion would affect the organization's unity and the process of regional consensus. So what's your opinion?
Yeah, those challenges are reality, actually. And that's what has been done by those BRICS members in the past years in order to accelerate the cooperation among themselves as well as their cooperation with the global South countries. But we have to acknowledge that the BRICS cooperation is totally different from the existing regimes, especially those regimes dominated by the United States and some other European countries. That means the BRICS cooperation is based upon some very important principles like cooperation, like openness, like the equal voting right within the regime. Is open to the global South countries. It's not a club. It's not a club for those advanced emerging economies. So in the past years, as we see some other countries established a certain kinds of clubs in the regional cooperation or even in the existing global arena, as well as the BRICS cooperation's expansion, we see in the past 11 years, the BRICS did very well in welcoming the participation from the emerging economies and developing countries, with the admission of South Africa, the Indonesia in recent days. As we see, with those participation and even successful expansion for the BRICS, is a very important and I think the actual show off, with quotation marks, to the international community that the BRICS is different. It's a kind of open platform to welcome the participation for those global South countries. And it's also based upon different principles. That means it's not only for the BRICS members themselves. It would bring in the cooperation of some other representative emerging economies. For example, there's the BRICS Plus regime, to welcome those efforts from the representative regional powers like Kazakhstan on behalf of the Central Asian countries, like Jamaica, which is a representative of the Latin American and Caribbean regions, as well as some other countries in Nigeria, Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand. So we could say the BRICS succeeded in establishing several regimes to welcome the participation of those Global South countries. And finally, I think it's also very important to mention that the BRICS cooperation is not against the existing global regime, the existing global system. It would like to welcome the reforms. Of course, it's a kind of feasible and equal reforms upon the global system. But it would like to welcome the healthy reform upon the existing global regime rather than to tolerate it or even damage it. So the cooperation within the BRICS would like to accelerate a kind of successful, peaceful transition of the power shift from the dominating powers to the emerging powers. But it's a kind of cooperation based upon the UN Charter as well as some other very important rules and regulations in the international laws.
Right. Since China is one member of BRICS, let's talk about China's role. From your point of view, what role has China played in BRICS cooperation, and what can we expect from the cooperation of BRICS in the future?
China is one of the most important establishing members for the BRICS. Therefore, it would play a kind of role as the partner, the leader, even to some extent. We have to see that China is the largest economy and the most important participant in the BRICS cooperation. The other countries eager to participate in the BRICS cooperation, in my opinion, one of the most important reasons is because of China. Because China is there in the BRICS, therefore I would like to join in the BRICS cooperation in order to accelerate my cooperation with China, with the other emerging economies. But China is not a power, is not a decision maker in the BRICS cooperation, because China totally agree with the principles of equal voting rights, the equal participation within the members. Therefore, China is a kind of very, very humble participant in the BRICS cooperation, especially in the past years because of the global financial crisis as well as the economic turbulence in the global regime. China would like to provide certain kinds of important and feasible public goods to the BRICS cooperation. For example, the headquarters for the NDB is located in Shanghai. China provides those very important helps and assistances to the function of the NDB in Shanghai. And China is also very important a contributor for the principles, the ideas, concepts to push forward the economic cooperation and financial as well as political cooperation within the BRICS members. For example, China totally agree and accelerated the political and security cooperation within the BRICS members in the past years, especially since the Xiamen Summit in 2017, in which year the BRICS cooperation established the so-called three wings of cooperation: political, security, economic and trade, as well as humanitarian and cultural cooperation. China proposed the first round of the BRICS expansion in 2011 with the admission of South Africa, and later on, during the second term for China to function as the chairing and presidency of the BRICS cooperation in 2022, China proposed the second round of the expansion for the BRICS with the holding of the dialogues between the BRICS members and those emerging economies, for example, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Argentina, Mexico, to take part in the BRICS Plus cooperation. So in the future, I'm very optimistic with the BRICS cooperation in the upcoming years. The reason lies here. The first and most important for the BRICS cooperation is the principle based upon equal participation and equal voting right, equal voting power. Therefore, the hemisphere and atmosphere environment for the BRICS cooperation is very, very healthy. Those members would feel that it's a kind of very inclusive club for them. It's a community for those members to take part in the cooperation with a very pleasant feeling. And the BRICS cooperation is also based upon the tangible and some very important conditions. For example, the economic foresight for those countries are very healthy. They are still the leading emerging economies, especially with more and more participation from the global south countries. And the BRICS cooperation in the past years has established a kind of strategic partnership which could provide certain kinds of guidelines for the BRICS members in the upcoming years to accelerate their cooperation. So, in conclusion, we could see the BRICS cooperation is still upholding those principles they cherished a lot, which based upon the UN Charter, the international laws, and it is a kind of multilateral, comprehensive, and inclusive cooperation within and among the emerging countries and the global south countries. So the future for the BRICS is shining, and is still as shining as it has been doing in the past years.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your candid and insightful views on BRICS. We wish you continued success in your research and look forward to seeing more of your works on BRICS.
Many thanks.
That was Professor Wang Lei, offering valuable insights into the strategic importance of enhancing greater BRICS cooperation in today's complex global landscape, as well as China's contributions within the BRICS framework and the future directions of this cooperation. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for more episodes in the Point series.